Welcome to Sounds from the Shelves. I'm Mika.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Lee.
And today we are joined by Christopher Bray. Woohoo!
Yay!
Thanks for having me.
He's one of the great minds behind our Seed Library program here at the County Library. Christopher, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Christopher Bray. I work at the Sandy Library branch. I've been in the system for about 5 years now. And I like gardening and seeds and thought we should have a seed library.
Woohoo! Yeah. So, let's start with what's probably the burning question on everyone's mind. What is the seed library? How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So a seed library works in a way that similar to how we imagine any lending library, where you can take something free of cost and return it for the benefit of the next person. Only in this case, we're talking about heirloom, non-GMO, open pollinated seeds. The seed varieties are primarily your basic garden variety vegetables, such as tomatoes, carrots, beans, radishes, beets, squash, and more, and not just vegetables, but herbs and flowers as well. Between March 1st and the end of April, these seeds are available free to our patrons while supplies last. So I would emphasize while supplies last. The program is scheduled to run until the end of April, but sometimes the seeds run out a little bit before that. And they're available typically on somewhere around a 3 packets per patron per day basis, although this might vary slightly among the participating branches. It isn't necessary that patrons preserve and return the seeds from their harvests, but it is definitely encouraged as a way of creating an eventually self-sustaining seed library program. Many patrons actually do donate seeds to our seed libraries, and this is highly appreciated.
Mm-hmm. I've watched them come in at Sandy.
We've got a lot of Sandy. Yeah.
So you do get them coming back with seeds. Do they ever just show up with random seeds?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That's like primary. Like the most of the donations have been people who are just enthusiastic about the seeds and have harvested their own and brought their own. It takes a little while because the idea is to bring back the seeds from the seeds that we've given them.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes a whole nother year for that to happen. So it takes a little while to get your seed library off the ground, but the donations will start coming in.
When did the seed library program start, and what inspired you to create it?
Yeah. So the Seeds from the County Library program began at the Curds branch right here in March of 2021. It's not an original idea, however. Public libraries have actually been offering seed libraries since around 2004. My wife, Kristen, is a fantastic gardener, and she really inspired the idea of bringing this program to the county library. I also felt that a seed library really couples well with the heart and soul of public libraries as a means of offering opportunities for things like self-development and just offering these fundamental resources to the public. To say a bit more on that, seed libraries also highlight the importance of seeds in fostering sustainability, connection with nature, and promoting healthy eating. Seeds also play a fundamental role in our lives in many ways, from agriculture to biodiversity, and contribute to self-sufficiency and a sense of empowerment. In a time of widening wealth gaps and increased food insecurity, seed libraries can be a practical solution for individuals and communities to grow their own food. I would also say that it's proven that there are lots of therapeutic benefits to gardening and a connection to the soil through seed planting. I would also say that there are a lot of sustainability benefits when it comes to promoting local diverse plant varieties. And seed libraries are also a really cost-effective program and one that benefits many lives at a relatively low cost. I would also say that seed libraries offer a dual role of not only providing a source of food, but also a meaningful, educational, and fun activity for the communities.
Very cool.
Do they come with instructions? Like, I know nothing about growing anything. I don't even want to ever share pictures of my succulents. They're very sad. I love them, but they're
sad. I feel this. I have also killed succulents. It's okay.
But say somebody who doesn't know anything and would like to participate and start out, they're like newbie galore. Can they do a library by appointment with somebody to walk through, or do you have instructions set up? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So both, I would say that, a lot of the participating branches have somebody there that kind of knows a little bit about gardening. But even if they don't, we offer a lot of resources. There's a lot of books in our collection. Every branch, I think, will be different. But for example, at the Sandy branch, I'm going to put out a binder of information from Utah State Extension, which is actually one of our community partners for the seed library. They give us their great volunteers to help us pack the seeds. I would also refer patrons to their website that has a lot of like how-to videos and flyers and a lot of information. It's a really great resource for anybody that wants to learn how to save seeds and bring them back to us.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how do people prepare the seeds to bring back to you? I mean, obviously, they're not just going to bring, well, at least hopefully they're not going to bring a handful of seeds and just dump it on the desk. There you go.
I will say I have seen that working at Kearns before. Last year, someone did do that. They like dropped it down on the desk. They're like, I have all these seeds. See you later. And ran out. And I was like, I don't know what any of these are.
Yeah. I mean, we're really not picky about how you bring in the seeds. I've gotten seeds in plastic bags, jars, little buckets, lots of different things, envelopes. Once the seeds are harvested and dried and ready to go, they're pretty safe in however you want to pack them. So
it'd be helpful if there's a label too.
Seeds can be difficult to identify. Yeah. I mean, once you've been doing it for a little while, you can identify a lot of them, but you're not going to know like the specific variety and stuff.
Can they just bring seeds back at any time?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll accept seed donations at any time of the year, and we'll just save them for the program in March.
What libraries are participating this year?
So this year we have 10 branches participating. Mm-hmm. That would include Sandy, Draper, Magna, Mill Creek, Holiday, Kearns, Whitmore, Tyler, West Valley, and Riverton.
Nice.
Yeah.
When this program first started, how many branches were participating?
First year, it was just Kearns.
It was just Kearns.
The second year, I think we had about four. So this year, it's gone up every year. So this year is by far the most with 10. I think I won't rest until all the branches are doing ones.
We'll start hunting people down.
Yeah.
Are there any programs that go on at the library kind of in conjunction with the seed library? I know we've done some at Sandy before. Do we have some more planned for this year?
Yeah, for sure. Our marketing team has actually created a website where you can find additional information on the seed library program, and that would include any tie-in programs that the various branches might be doing. You can find that at slcolibrary.org/seeds. And this will be updated with more information as we get closer to rolling out the program. Participating branches may include tie-in programs, and this is still in the works. Some of the programs we've offered in the past include create your own newspaper pots for seedlings, plant propagation stations, composting 101, vermicomposting, gardening basics, beekeeping, and we've even had honey tasting programs. So I would say check the website in March and April to see what might be offered near you.
That sounds cool. Random question I'm full of random questions today. I guess this is a two-parter. One, do you know what the most popular seed is? And the second is, what's your favorite plant to grow?
So the most popular seed is definitely tomatoes. People go nuts for tomatoes. There's a lot of great heirloom varieties of tomatoes. I think by far that's the most requests I get when people come in and make a request. It's always tomatoes, seems like. My favorite, I think I like the carrots, like the dragon carrot, the red carrot, and the purple carrot. I think they're really fun to grow and they're good, and my kids love them. And
I like purple carrots.
Yeah, I do too.
I like any food that's a fun color.
For like those that are like just starting out, what seeds would you recommend they try and grab? Like, are there good ones for like people who are like new to gardening or like living in an apartment?
Yeah, I think tomatoes are really easy to grow. The seeds that are self-pollinating are also really easy, especially if you plan on trying your hand at seed saving. Self-pollinating seeds include peas, tomatoes, lettuce, and beans. So I think they're all very easy to grow, very prolific, and very easy to harvest those types of seeds.
Cool.
Now I'm just thinking about eating fresh peas right out of the pot.
Yeah.
That's so yummy.
My kids do that. I just kind of, they want a snack. I just say, go to the garden, find something there.
Nice.
That's nice. Yeah. I actually just made a sort of tangent kind of connection here. I made chicken noodle soup, but I used green pea pasta.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It gave it a nice little extra flavor, but it wasn't overpowering at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of like plant-based pasta that I really like.
Yeah. Now I'm getting hungry. You can tell we record this in the late afternoon because I'm always like,
ugh. I think almost every episode we do, someone leaves and we're like, man, I am really hungry.
Yeah. It's true. Well, that was all the questions we had prepared about the Seed Library. Is there anything you wanted people to know that we haven't talked about the Seed Library?
Yeah, I can say a little bit about just the process of the seed saving. So kind of as I said before, when it comes to seed saving, it's best to stick with heirloom seeds and try to steer clear of hybrid seeds just to avoid disappointment. This is why for our program, we seek to maintain a collection of strictly heirloom, non-GMO, open pollinated seeds. Also, as I was just talking about, the best seeds for those who are just learning and getting started are the self-pollinating seeds such as peas, tomatoes, lettuce, and beans. Also, to keep it simple, you can plant just one variety of every heirloom seed you plant, which will help reduce the chance of things like undesirable crossbreeding, which happens from things like insect pollinators. There are different seed saving strategies for different plants, and seed saving does take a little bit of study, though once you get the hang of it, it's not really a difficult process. With tomatoes, for example, you need to remove the seeds. Wait to remove the seeds until they're ripe. The seeds then need to undergo a fermenting process to separate them from the gooey stuff that surrounds them. And you can do this by just squeezing out the seeds and the pulp into a jar, letting it sit for 2 to 3 days, kind of agitating the jar occasionally so the viable seeds sink down to the bottom. And then when you pour out the floating seeds and liquid from the top of the jar and then repeat the process with fresh water, you can then pour out these remaining seeds onto something like a cheesecloth or a sieve and just allow them to dry. Other varieties like peas and beans, you'll need to allow the pods to mature and dry right on the plant, at which time it's really easy to just remove the seeds. With something like lettuce, though, you need to allow the flower stalks to come up, which actually contain the seeds, and you also need to remove them from those before they are dispersed by the wind. You then just pick apart the seed heads from the tufts that allow them to blow in the wind and remove the seeds from the chafe. Seeds need to be dry enough to be broken by hand, and a good test of this is when they can't be dented by your fingernail. So if you just kind of try and dent them with your fingernail and you can't, that's a good sign that they're dry enough to plant. So this just kind of gives you an idea of the process for a few varieties of seeds. And I would recommend that if you aren't already familiar with seed saving, that you simply look up the instructions for the type of seed that you want to save. And vegetables aren't the only seeds that you can save. You can also save flower seeds and all sorts of other types of seeds. You can also find many seed saving books at the county library as well, and there are many great online resources. Patrons are free to donate seeds, like we said, at any branch at any time, and they'll just get those to where they need to go for the next seed library program. And we only request that the seeds are donated, which I would emphasize we request them to be heirloom seeds, because hybrid seeds can be really difficult to identify and grow.
All right.
Can you imagine, like, somebody just, like, crossed, like, lettuce and, I don't know, a carrot or something? I don't think that's possible, but, you know, just in case, and then we hand it out and they're like, what kind of, like,
mutant.
Science fiction mutant thing did the library just give me?
Yeah, yeah.
Although, I don't know, maybe a lot of people would like that.
They probably would. Yeah. That might be good. There's a lot of weird hybrids, I think.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that how, like, was it broccoli and cauliflower for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just ate, like, an apple pear before I came in today.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I didn't know, like, the mustard plant has, like, I guess, fostered all these, like, hybrids. So it's, like, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, right? My housemate doesn't like any of that. And I was just like, that all makes sense why you don't like it. Because they're all from the same, I don't know, parent plant, I guess you would say.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
That validates my dislike of them as well.
I love them. I love Brussels sprouts.
I do too.
I like broccoli. I like the stalk, but not the head.
It's like that's the like florets. The other way around for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably for most people. Mm.
I don't like soggy broccoli, though. I'm like very picky on how my broccoli is cooked. It's got to be like really crispy.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I think the worst smell in the world is burnt broccoli, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
That or burnt popcorn. Those are like my two worst smells.
Because my housemate doesn't eat those, I don't like cook them very often. And I had to like test out whether I could have cauliflower again. I forgot. Like, I used to eat it all the time, so it didn't smell to me ever. Yeah, it smells.
Yeah.
I was like, whoo, every time I walk by the fridge, I'm like, what is that stench?
Yeah.
It's cauliflower.
You can always tell like when cauliflower goes bad. It smells rank.
Yeah.
Do you
have any? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No.
Oh, it was going to be a different tangent.
Oh, I was just going to make a joke. Like, you know, if you're trying to grow cauliflower, it's like trying to brew your own beer. Right? Just be prepared. It's going to smell. Yeah.
There's a lot of vegetables that like don't really smell very good, but taste good.
Yeah. I was gonna ask, do you have any like favorite like memories from the Seed Library, or any like really like memorable stories where you're like, this is why I'm doing this program, is because of blank?
Yeah. So I see a lot of like families come in, like parents bring their kids, and everybody grabs a few seed packets, and quite a few times they'll come back and kind of let me know the progress, and gotten a lot of really positive feedback. I think we have a really enthusiastic gardening community here in Utah. Word spreads really fast, and you know, you might find people from all over coming into your branch, even if they don't live super close, to see what you have. And once people know that there's a seed library there, you might find that you get some regular donators. We have some regulars at Sandy who like to bring in their seeds. And it gives them a chance just to come in and socialize and talk about the seeds and gardening, and I think it creates a really great connection with people. It's just something that a lot of people find really important.
I'm always jealous of people that can grow like these great gardens, because I have a black thumb and I kill plants. It's really terrible.
Yeah.
I have a friend back home in Rochester, and I always call her backyard the secret garden, because it feels like it's just enchanted, and there's always butterflies and birds, and I'm just like, I just feel so at peace. And she grows all sorts of things. My favorite though is catnip.
Yeah, we offer catnip sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
And her cat Ruby is very territorial over the catnip, and we'll get in like fights because like neighborhood cats will come around. And,
it's like their stash. Yeah.
All right, we've got one more question. This is our most important question ever. We ask everybody this.
All right.
Now, at least. What is your favorite way to enjoy potatoes?
I like mashed potatoes. Yeah.
It's my classic thing.
Like,
it's good.
Nice mashed potatoes. I'm not really a gravy fan, just the mashed potatoes with some butter, and I could just have that for dinner. Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm not a gravy person either.
Yeah.
Depends on the gravy and what else I'm eating.
Yeah.
So, although I've had some really good mashed potatoes where it's just they've added like sour cream to it while they're mashing it, and that just gives it a nice little zing that you don't need the gravy.
I think I know why I don't like gravy. I used to work somewhere once that had a kitchen, and they would make gravy, and all they would do was like take grease and mix it with liquid like water thickener. And that was the gravy. And I was like, I don't ever want to eat that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like very good gravy.
Yeah. I think the first time I realized what a roux actually was, I was like, oh. It sounds like it would be real fancy. And I'm just like, oh, it's just, okay.
Yeah. Yay, flour.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. Thank you, Christopher, for coming
for
and talking to us. If you want to listen to more of our podcast, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to email us at shelvespodcast@slcolibrary.org. We love questions. We love comments. You can tell it to us in person, too. That's what most people seem to do.
Yes.
We should mention that this episode highlights something really exciting. It's our 2-year anniversary of the podcast.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which is very fun.
That's awesome.
I forgot to. You can tell.
Yay, Sarah.
You're on the ball here. At least Sarah's on the ball.
I got a lot of weird things up in my brain. That just is one of them.
It's the tab that was highlighted.
Yeah.
If you've been listening since the beginning, thank you for sticking with us for 2 years.
Thank you.
We're a lot. We know it.
We're lovable. Stop it.
I mean, we can be lovable and still a lot. It's fine.
We're much better at staying on task now, though, than compared to 2 years ago.
I mean, we kind of had free reign. Like, there was nothing.
True.
There was nothing that, like, yeah. It was like, oh, you know, questions to guide us or a guest or anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just went to town, and then, you know, Carl wouldn't tell us to stop.
Yeah.
Carl still won't tell us to stop.
Just keep the tape rolling.
Be sure to join us next month. We've got another exciting episode talking about the Utah Library Association. Woohoo! Yay. Our guest should be, I believe, is the current president, Patrick Herschel.
Yes.
Should be fun. Should be exciting. You can learn all about what the Utah Library Association actually does. Because even if you work in libraries, you may not know.
Very true.
But they're great. We love them. And that's what we've got for today.
And that's a wrap.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.